For the Orleans County Historical Association, Helen McAllister of Medina, New York, is interviewing Mrs. Marjorie Cook Radzinski of 574 Moore Street, Albion, New York. Okay, right.
I was born June 24th, 1916, at home, which is at 180 State Street, Medina, New York. My father was Samuel Tripp Cook, and my mother was Cora Estelle Loke. But she went by the name of Estelle, because her mother's name was the same. My Aunt Florence Wing was the midwife, and she was my father's sister. Dr. Emily Sweat was my mother's doctor. I am the only daughter of four children. My three brothers are Charles, Morris, and Herbert.
Okay, Marge, would you tell us a little bit about your father? I can remember Sam Cook, the traveling salesman, but he didn't come to Medina as a traveling salesman. Would you tell us where he came from, etc.?
Yes. My father was born and brought up in Lawrence, New York, which is about 30 miles from Cooperstown, New York. When he was in his 20s, he didn't know what he intended to do as far as his occupation. And he did go with his older sister down to New York City, where she was teaching school. And he hired out in a lumber store at that time and received a bit of experience there in the hardware business. For some reason or other, he moved to Schenectady, New York, and hired out in a hardware store there. While he was working as a salesman in the hardware store, he saw an ad in the paper for a clerk in the Jason Breed hardware store in Medina, New York. And being of adventurous nature, he decided to answer the ad. And very shortly after he answered the ad, he received a reply, and they asked him to come and be interviewed for the job. So he went by a train to Medina, and as his Wanamaker diary has stated, that he stayed overnight when he arrived by train in Medina. He stayed overnight
in the morning he went house
down to the hardware store, and John Chase interviewed him for the job, and he was hired immediately.
Marge, this was in the year of 1907, approximately?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, it was. Mm-hmm.
And he was about 27 at that time?
Yes, he was. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about the stores on Main Street at that time. I think there was a Medina dry goods store next door, and that eventually played quite a part in his life. Tell me about that.
Yes, there was. My dad has mentioned the fact that he used to trim the windows of the hardware store with their, for instance, in the spring, they trim their store with things pertaining to the yard, mm-hmm. for instance, lawnmowers mm-hmm. and garden tools. Mm-hmm. And next door, the hardware store, well, Estelle Loke worked there.
What was her position in the dry goods store?
She was a cashier mm-hmm. and bookkeeper. Mm-hmm. They used to have these money carriers on a wire, and they would go up to her office, and that's was part of what she did.
Mm-hmm. I can remember doing that. You'd give your money to the clerk. You'd yes. buy your gloves or whatever and give your money to the clerk, and she would put it in a little tube, small, like an 8 yes. or 10-inch tube, stick it on a little wire trolley or whatever, and it would go mm-hmm. sailing off through the store up to the yes. the head office, and then she would make the right change and send it back, and you'd get it.
Right.
And I suppose that made it safer for the clerks.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I assume that that is how my father and mother met, because of their working side by side in the two stores.
Mm-hmm. They were eventually married in about 2 years later, 1909.
Yes.
Where were they married and by whom?
They were married in the Baptist church.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I don't know for sure if they met in the church or
mm-hmm.
in the store, but I imagine
mm-hmm.
part.
Oh, sure.
There.
Marge, I believe you've told me earlier that your mother was ill with diabetes. Would you tell us a little bit about this and how it's affected your life?
Yes. My mother became ill shortly after I was born. My very earliest recollection was when I was about 3.5 years old, and that was at Christmas time. And I received a doll for my Christmas present. And I recall very plainly dropping the doll and the head shattered. I believe the body of the doll was sawdust or straw. When my doll shattered, my mother took me by the hand and said, "Don't cry, Marjorie. I'll make it all better." She led me into the dining room, to the buffet, the old oak buffet, and from one of the side mm-hmm. doors, she opened it, and she had these doll heads.
Mm-hmm.
At least there was one there, but it seems as though there was more than one. She proceeded to fasten the doll head to the body of this doll.
Mm-hmm.
And my doll's name was Jane.
Will you describe the doll's head?
The doll's head, I believe, was plaster of Paris. And the hair was painted on. It was raised a bit to look
mm-hmm.
like a baby doll's head.
Mm-hmm.
The eyes were painted, and the mouth was painted,
mm-hmm.
and it ended at the shoulders
mm-hmm.
of the doll's head.
Mm-hmm.
The nose was chipped, so it wasn't a new head.
Yeah.
But that doll.
But your mother was ill? at about this time, and you said that you had an uncle that came to visit.
Yes. My uncle, excuse me, my uncle Louis Loke lived in New Jersey, and on his visit to see his mother and father, and my mother, I guess his father was dead, he came to visit us, and I remember sitting on his lap, and my mother asked me if I would like to go home and live with Uncle Louis for a while.
Now, Uncle Louis was married and had two children?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I believe I was quite willing to go home with him. Mm-hmm. We went by train. I can even remember the trip. It stuck in my mind because we rode in a Pullman car.
Oh my.
And my uncle gave me the upper berth and he had the lower berth. And he showed me a mesh hammock where I was to put my shoes. On the way down to visit, to stay at his home, I recall him waking me and saying, "Marjorie, I want you to wake up and see New York City." Mm-hmm. It was at night, and all I could see was a lot of lights.
Well, Marjorie, you said that you were very unhappy because you had left your doll behind, and you were not happy again until they sent for it and got it. That was
yes, I believe I must have put up quite a fuss. And they did send back to Medina for my doll. And it was, I'm sure it came very quickly.
Well, then you stayed with your uncle and aunt for a number of years?
I stayed with Uncle Louis and Aunt Harriet for 1 year. Their winter was spent in Upper Montclair, New Jersey, and their summer was spent at Atlantic City. They had a home in Atlantic City in the summertime. My older cousin was my babysitter. I went to school when I was there. I was five years old. I had my fifth birthday at their house. And while I was there, I got chicken pox. And I couldn't go to kindergarten. Though I was very eager to do so. In fact, they let me go back before I was over my chicken pox, and they sent me home. I remember running home crying because I couldn't go to school.
Well, what took you back to Medina, or brought you back to Medina?
I was there just the 1 year, and I enjoyed at the seashore in Atlantic City. And my father's sister, Blanche, was teaching in New Jersey. And I imagine, due to my mother's illness, that she wanted to see me. And my Aunt Blanche brought me by train back to Medina from New Jersey.
Had your mother had any special attention from medicine for her diabetes during this time? You said that she had gone to a sanitarium.
I believe that was after I returned to Medina.
Later.
But when I walked in the house from
coming home from New Jersey, my mother was totally blind in that 1 year. And she, I recall her feeling my features, my face, and saying, "My little girl." I didn't stay at my parents' home when I returned from New Jersey. I went to live with my mother's half-sister, my Aunt Ida Snaith, on East Center Street. I lived with her for 3 years, with her and Uncle Frank Snaith. During this period of time, my mother died, and the funeral was at home.
You remember the funeral, and I think you've told me that they did not allow you to stay downstairs and be a part of it, but you went upstairs with your grandmother?
Yes.
Yes.
They had chairs set up upstairs, and the family were upstairs during the funeral service. Well, maybe my dad was, I don't know, but I know I was upstairs with my grandmother. Maybe they figured that we wouldn't be quiet.
Yeah, maybe. How old were you at that time, Marge?
Seven.
Seven.
Uh-huh.
Okay, then you continued to live with the Snaiths?
Yes, I continued to live with the Snaiths until, of course, I didn't realize it myself, perhaps, but my Aunt Ida must have been ill. So I went to live with my mother's cousin, Jeanette Sweat Tanner.
And she later was
married Horace Hendricks.
Yes.
From Brockport.
And you lived there for 3 years?
I lived there for 3 years. And I do believe that my years with, I called her Aunt Jeanette. My years with Aunt Jeanette were some of the most impressive and instructive in my life. Because she was a good teacher. She was gentle, and she helped me in many, many ways.
When my husband and I first came to Medina in 1947, we lived next door to her, and I knew her as a friend, a neighbor, and as a piano teacher, and of course she was in Tuesday Club, and I was in Tuesday Club.
Yes.
But she was very much of a lady. She was tall and erect and an immaculate housekeeper, very much of a lady.
When I lived with Aunt Jeanette, I took lessons from her, piano lessons, and I do recall my first piano recital, which was in June 1926. There was a printed program, which I can show you, that I have with me. I was the first at the piano recital, I was first in line to do my play my piano piece, and she called me out to called my name out to play my
number.
And I walked up and I sat down, and I couldn't do a thing. I just froze. So she
graciously okay.
told me that I could go and sit down, that she called. And then I was able to do my part. I knew it by heart, but I just absolutely froze at the piano. And I was I really was dressed up. I remember the outfit I had on.
really something.
That's when little girls wore dresses.
Yes.
Well, you eventually went back to live with your father. You said that he had remarried.
My father remarried in 1928, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm.
He married Charlotte Jowett Maxson.
Mm-hmm.
She had three daughters.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they all came to live in my dad's house at 180 State Street.
Mm-hmm. What were the daughters' names?
The daughters' names are Charlotte, after her mother.
Mm-hmm.
I should say Catherine first. Catherine was the oldest. Catherine, Charlotte, and Jane.
Mm-hmm. Catherine is now Catherine Wilson, is that right?
Yes, Catherine
mm-hmm.
Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
Charlotte is now Charlotte Coffey
mm-hmm.
from Albion. And Jane is now Jane Wilkes, mm-hmm. W-I-L-K-E-S, from Kenmore, New York.
Mm-hmm.
I used to spend Sunday after church at my dad's house after and before he was married. So one Sunday when I went to visit my dad for Sunday dinner and Sunday afternoon, my dad's new wife asked me if I would like to come home to live now that she was married to my father.
Hmm.
And I was really very pleased to do so
mm-hmm.
because I believe that I was at the age, I was about 13 years old, and I was getting a little bit out of hand. I miss know-it-all with my aunt, and I was a little bit hard to put up with, I believe.
Now, Marge, I don't believe that.
So I went home to live with my dad and my new mother
mm-hmm.
and my new sisters. And
mm-hmm.
my brother had already, my oldest brother had already gone down to Rochester
mm-hmm.
to go to school and mm-hmm. live with his aunt.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of schooling, where did you go to school? You eventually went to Medina. You had moved around to various places.
Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm. I think you said...
I started school in Upper Montclair, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Then I came back to Medina, and I went to the Elizabeth Street School,
mm-hmm.
which was right around the corner from my house.
Mm-hmm.
And they built the new Ensign Avenue School,
mm-hmm.
and I went to school there in third grade.
Mm-hmm.
And this was before my dad's marriage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And my teacher, who I was very fond of, was Miss Dillon, Margaret Dillon.
Hmm.
One day I went up to Miss Dillon, and I asked her if she would marry my father. And she laughed like you are doing. And she called another teacher in, Miss Corbin, and told her. I knew she was telling her what I had said, because they both started laughing.
Yeah, dear.
But I was very sincere, because I think I was trying to be a matchmaker for my father.
Oh, dear.
And I don't believe she ever intended to marry. She never did.
About this time, I believe, you said that your father was married in what year?
1909.
To the second marriage.
Oh, the second marriage.
1926 or
1928, okay. I believe.
Now, soon after that, real
that's
difference.
Right. That's mm-hmm. right. My mm-hmm. dad was working in the hardware store.
Mm-hmm. Would you tell us what happened to him and to his job?
Yes. my dad was laid off the reason given that he was the older clerk in the store. Mm-hmm. And perhaps my dad was slowing down. Mm-hmm. And they did, anyway, they kept the younger man. And my father was laid off. Mm-hmm. And with four children to raise, and my mother's three girls, although they were working, the older girls were working, but still in all, he had quite a family. Mm-hmm. So my brother, let's see, somebody got him interested in, asked him if he'd like to sell Fuller brushes.
Fuller brushes.
Yes. Uh-huh. So he decided to try it. Mm-hmm. And I do believe my father really enjoyed selling mm-hmm. Fuller brushes. Mm-hmm. He enjoyed his contacts with people. Mm-hmm. He loved people anyway. Mm-hmm. He was very interested mm-hmm. in people and what they, mm-hmm. how they thought, and he really enjoyed visiting with people.
Well, this is how I knew Sam Cook. He was the Fuller brush man, and he was very persistent, very pleasant.
Yes.
But very persistent, and I can remember him coming to the door, walking all around, knocking on the door, mm-hmm. Fuller brush man, and you always got a free sample, a small comb or a small toothbrush or something, and that if you would let him come in and just show you his satchel, his wares.
Yes.
And he would come in and give you his little spiel along with a free brush, and almost always you'd buy something. He was very good at it.
Yes.
How many years was he a Fuller brush man? Do you remember?
I don't recall. Let's see, 1928, just when he was, mm-hmm. how old he was when he was married the second time. But he sold brushes until he was, past 70, mm-hmm. I know.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, he used to, with his automobile, he used to go to some of the back roads that nobody else would mm-hmm. bother, some mm-hmm. of these back roads to for his customers. And at first he had all of Orleans County. He could go anywhere in the county. And then his sales were so good that the Fuller Brush Company started limiting his territory that he could cover.
Hmm.
They wanted other salesmen in the other villages.
Mm-hmm.
And my father even helped some of the other Fuller brushmen get started mm-hmm. in these various areas.
Mm-hmm. But he was able to provide for his family through the Depression by
yes,
his efforts.
I think his persistence was due to the fact that he needed to provide for his family.
Mm-hmm. And all of this time he was active in the Baptist, in the First Baptist Church in Medina.
Yes.
That's where we first knew him. From the Ensign School, Marge, where did you go?
I went to the Central School on South Academy Street.
Mm-hmm.
And in Dora Warren's mm-hmm. classroom to begin with.
Mm-hmm. And then eventually you went into the high school, which is right next door.
Yes, mm-hmm. and that was 7th and 8th grade, I believe, were mm-hmm. over there.
Mm-hmm. In your senior mm-hmm. year, I think you've told me that you were ill and you got whooping cough, and of course that put you out of school for a period of time.
Yes.
You're pretty sick.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I hooked. Well, I got it during Thanksgiving recess,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't go back to school till the following April, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I was hooping so bad all that time.
Mm-hmm. That's something it's hard for us to appreciate today, because I don't believe that youngsters have whooping cough like that anymore.
No.
That's pretty serious. So you graduated with a class of 36?
Yes.
And after high school graduation, I think you told me that you went to live with an aunt in Rochester for a brief period of time?
Yes. After high school graduation, my Aunt Minerva Criggs asked me if I'd like to come down and stay with my aunt and uncle and look for work. And it was, jobs were pretty scarce at that time, especially
inexperienced.
Inexperienced,
right,
yes.
Right.
So my first job I took was with the Citizens Committee for Court and Constitution. Mm-hmm. It was a secretarial job, and that's what I felt I was qualified for because I took a business course in high school. So I went to work for this committee, which had their headquarters at the what was called the Sagamore Hotel on East Avenue in Rochester. They had an apartment they rented there for this purpose. And I was an assistant to the secretary.
You counted money, is that right, for the
and
most
I,
part?
I, yes, the contributions that came in toward this cause was my job to open the mail and record the money that was contributed. And they also had quite a parade through Main Street and down East Avenue of Rochester, in which their guest of honor was Burton from Wheeler. I'm not sure, but one of the western states, anyway. I was going to say Kansas, but I'm not sure. I should have checked on that before I...
Well, you said this was just a temporary job, and after that, what did you do, Marge?
From then, I took a job at the Riverside Bookbindery, which is located on Andrew Street, just off Main Street in Rochester. The work I did there, I found very enjoyable. It was, their printed matter was put into book form, and what we girls did was to walk around the table and pick up the page one and so on through. And then we did have some bookbinding that we did there. They had a frame that was threaded, and we bound the backs of them by hand, some of the books or the pamphlets.
Well, you were there for about a year, and then you came back to Medina, and there was a new JCPenney store opening up, and you were one of the first clerks, right?
Yes, I was. I was there when they hired some help to put the price tags on the merchandise, and then I stayed on as a clerk for a short time.
One thing we forgot to say, when you were in high school, you worked at Murphy's, which was a 5 and 10.
Oh, yes.
And you worked on the candy counter.
Yes, I worked on in the candy counter, and well, that wasn't my line of work, really. I didn't care too much for that.
I think you said that you, at that time, weighed up the candy and
put
it in paper bags.
Yes, people would come in and ask for instance, a half a pound of candy, and the scale was there, and you weighed it up until it reached the balance. It balanced, and then we poured it in the paper bags.
I think that's changed now. I used to work on a candy counter in a 5 and 10, too,
really?
I was in school, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And what did you do with your money for that job?
I don't believe I earned. I earned it was 5 cents a week. I think it was Saturday nights that I worked in Murphy's. And it was to go toward my
class ring.
Mm-hmm. At that time, high school high school graduation ring.
Mm-hmm. We bought our own rings, mm-hmm. and I believe that ring cost $9.50.
You still have it? You don't have it. It's funny, it means so much at one point.
I know.
Well, okay, so you worked in JCPenney, and you were there, and somewhere along the line, I think you met the man who became your husband. How did you happen to meet Ed? Or who introduced you? Well,
I met my husband. I was introduced to my husband. Should I name
the name? Sure.
By Ines Perry Metz.
Ines Metz. We know her as today.
Yes, Ines Metz.
She introduced it to me.
She introduced him to me, and it was on my 16th birthday.
Oh, how nice.
And she said, I would like you to, Eddie, I'd like you to meet my friend, Marjorie. It's her 16th birthday today. And I said, yes. Sweet 16, never been kissed.
And he took care of it, no doubt.
He took care of it right away, yes. I lost track of him for a couple years. I just mm-hmm. met him the one time. Mm-hmm. And then we met later on, and I started having dates with him.
And, mm-hmm. and then you were finally married?
We got married in September 23rd, 1939, first day of fall.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we didn't have a large wedding. Mm-hmm. We were married in the St. Mary's Church Rectory in Albion.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wore a purple velvet fall dress.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was purple velvet, and I had purple hat.
Mm.
It was sort of a Dubonnet velvet, they called it at the time, Dubonnet color.
Mm-hmm.
And the accessories to match.
Mm-hmm. In your later on in your married life, I think you and your husband decided that you really would love to have a child in the home. And since time had passed and you weren't having any of your own, you decided to find
somebody else's child.
Well, when I became aware that I couldn't have any children of my own, I figured that I would like to adopt a child or have a foster child. So my doctor suggested that I take a child from the Child Welfare
mm-hmm.
Association. I believe that was it, or mm-hmm. the Welfare Department. So in inquiring about a child, they told me that they had one child that needed a home.
Let's see, I believe you worked with a Mrs. Wilkinson?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Mrs. Wilkinson was the head of the Welfare Department at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And she wanted to place this little boy who was 15 months old.
Mm-hmm.
And she told us that we'd have to have a special room for him, a separate room for him,
mm-hmm.
and the crib and necessary high chair and like that,
mm-hmm.
which my brother, his children were had grown out of
mm-hmm.
the crib and high chair and like that, so we got them from him. And so that is how Jan David Rydzinski came to live with us.
Mm-hmm. Now let's see, Jan, J-A-N is the Polish name for John.
Yes, really it's Jan.
Jan. Mm-hmm.
It's soft. It's supposed to be a soft mm-hmm. name, a soft pronunciation.
Mm-hmm. You didn't adopt him right away, though.
Oh,
right?
We had him We were able to adopt him when he was 3 years old. So when we told Jan that we were going to adopt him, he had a three-wheel chain drive bike, and he rode that downtown, and we went to Mr. Church's office. And as we were going down, walking down, my husband and I were walking down, he said, "Mommy and Daddy, will it hurt? This adoption hurt?" Because it seems that in order to adopt a child, they have to go through a series of their inoculations and have different immunities. So he'd been through quite a bit, and he was just checking. He wondered if this was going to hurt.
Marge, did he immediately adopt your name, Radzinski? Or did you change it at that time?
We changed his name when we adopted him.
To Radzinski.
Yes.
Marge, let's talk briefly about your employment outside of the home. Before you were married, you've told me off tape that you worked at the Heinz Company in Medina. And after you were married, and you lived in Albion with your husband, this is before you adopted the little baby, you worked at the Reed Bag Factory, which later became the Bemis Bag Factory. Is that right?
Well, they built a new plant up on the avenue. The F.A. Reed Bag Factory was down by the railroad track at the end of Liberty Street.
Well, then during the time of World War II, part of that time, you worked for the Albion Novelty Shop. I think that's interesting. The work that you did and the effect that it had on you and on your health and others.
Would you yes. Abe Sussman from Albion was the manager or our boss. And there, upstairs and downstairs of the novelty shop, which was located at the corner of North Main and Caroline Street. In Albion, it was a two-story brick building. That is where we worked, and we made army ponchos, raincoats, and I don't know what else. Oh, I imagine tents too, or some type of lean-tos. Or
you said you had to paint the seams together and roll them together, and.
They were cemented. There was a cement used that we applied to different seams of the poncho, for instance, and then we rolled the edges with this hand roller. We rolled the seams to adhere the material.
And this bothered your eyes, you said.
We used to work, it was piecework, and after a while, we began to notice that our eyes would smart and these hot tears would form